Well, let me encourage you to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. Now, I finished up my series in the book of Acts, and since I've finished my series in the book of Acts, I've been doing a few more topical-like sermons out of the book of Proverbs, and I'll do that for a while until we get into our next series. But this morning I want us to consider from Proverbs chapter 8, and reading from verse 32 to verse 36. Thus reads the word of God from the New King James. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. May God be pleased to bless the reading of Holy Scripture. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord's help in the preaching of his word. Gracious Father, we pray for your mercy this morning. Lord, help us to hear your word. Help us to respond in a way that brings glory and honor to you. Oh Lord, give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. That we would see Christ, hear his words, and we would live. And we pray that you would do this all for the glory of your name. We ask it for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. So the title of my message this morning is Take Heed to How You Hear. Now, I'm going to be using Proverbs chapter 8 from verse 32 to 35, but I'm going to be drawing from other passages as well. Now, let me say this, friends, and I think you'll agree with me, that one of the most important skills that we can develop as human beings living in this world is the skill of learning how to listen. Right? You agree with me? Don't think you can get very far in this world without learning how to listen, right? And so listening is foundational to being a rational creature. It's really foundational to being a creature created in the image of God. And I think you would agree as well by this statement that it is more often than not, in fact most of the time, all of the time if you would say that, that it is our lack of listening and hearing that leads us to trouble. How many times have we not got into trouble and sat back and thought to ourselves, I really should have listened. I really should have listened to that advice or that counsel. And so, listening is essential to our well-being. It's essential to our survival as human beings. Listening begins right from the get-go, from the moment we're born. We are born and we need to start listening straight away. Listening first to our parents, because they are God's ordained means, which he has given to us so that we can learn and acquire wisdom. But listening is essential when it comes to all relationships. Listening is essential to maintaining healthy and productive relationships. How many times have you not heard of marriages breaking apart? And one of the main, if not the main thing, is that they don't listen to each other. Now, I want to say that the Bible has a great deal to say about the importance of listening. This is a great subject, so I'm just going to deal with a couple of things with regards to this. It's not exhaustive. But the Bible has a great deal to say about the importance of listening and how we listen and also what we listen to. Proverbs defines very clearly how we as creatures whom God created gain real wisdom. And we need wisdom in this world. This world is filled with fools. I think you'd agree with me. It's filled with foolishness. And I think every one of us in our heart of hearts really believes that we need wisdom to do well in this world. We need wisdom to survive in this world. Proverbs defines very clearly how we as creatures who God created can gain real wisdom. Where does real wisdom come from? Where does it start? It starts with a knowledge of God. This is what the scripture says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:7. And so the question we need to ask is, how is it that we acquire this knowledge so that we can get and grow in wisdom? Well, if you look at the text we've just read, how does it begin? Blessed is the one who listens to me. And here, what Proverbs or Solomon is doing in Proverbs 8 is he is personifying wisdom. He's personifying wisdom. He is describing wisdom as a person, and he's doing it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And if we were to step back from Proverbs and we were to ask the question, who is this person who Solomon is describing in the spirit of prophecy? There would be no question in our mind that the only person who really epitomizes this wisdom is Christ. Jesus is the picture of wisdom. In fact, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Jesus is the wisdom of God to us. He is the Word of God incarnate. Now, I want you to notice in the text we've read how many times we find the word listen or hear. Three times. Let's look at the text again. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. Then notice again, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. So do you see that, beloved? Do you notice in that text that blessing comes from listening? It comes from hearing instruction. And the consequences, if we don't listen, if we don't hear, the consequences for refusing to hear is what? It is death. Such a person, says Solomon, wrongs his or her own soul. In fact, they love death. They love death. So I have a couple of questions I want to answer by way of looking at our subject and opening it up. The first one is, does it really matter how we listen or hear? The second one is, we seem to have a problem with listening. Why is it so difficult for us to listen and to hear? And then the third question is, what are the dangers of not listening and hearing? And my fourth question is, how do you think you are listening and hearing? How do you think you are listening and hearing today? Where do you gauge on the scale of good listening or bad listening today? So, let's think about the first question. How much does it really matter how we hear and listen? Proverbs chapter 1 verse 5, Solomon says this, "A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel." I found it interesting that our brother read 1 Kings, one of those passages that epitomize the wisdom of Solomon, right? And God gave him that wisdom. And Proverbs is a book full of the wisdom of God. And yet Solomon was a man who went astray from God because he took his eyes off God. And he stopped listening to God. But anyway, I digress. Think about this text. Right at the outset of Proverbs, we read, "A wise man hears, and because he hears, he increases in learning, and he attains or he grows in wise counsel." Proverbs, very specifically, deals with how we hear, how we attain wisdom. But Proverbs begins right at the earliest stages of our lives. It deals with children at the outset. And when Proverbs does that, it emphasizes that this is where it has to start. When we are children, when we are young, like saplings that need to be shaped and molded. And I want to just say to you parents, how important it is for you to be steadfast here. To teach your children to listen when you speak. To listen and to obey. If your children do not learn this when they are young, the older they get, the harder it will be for them. And it will lead them to destruction. If they don't listen to you, they will not listen to anyone else. If they don't listen to you, they will not listen to God. And so they are to grasp from the earliest age, our children, that they must listen. Why? Because they are under authority. And they are not to listen to their own hearts and to be led by their sinful, rebellious passions. And when they learn to listen to their parents and the voice of their parents, what that does is it prepares them for the most important relationship in their life, their relationship with God. A proverb states, ordinarily, that is the way our children come to God. But we do thank God for His grace, because many of us were not raised in Christian homes. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't have very wise parents. And yet, in the grace of God, the gospel still came to me and I was saved. But now, as a Christian parent, I have the privilege of leading my children to God in the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, training them to listen. And so it's so important for our children to learn from the earliest age that they are under authority, that they must listen. Listen to their parents. Because once they learn how to listen to their parents, that is setting them up for the most important relationship, to listen to God. So, it is here really that the skill of listening is developed and honed. These critical years of development, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, this is when our souls are at their tenderest. This is when our souls are most pliable and they haven't solidified or calcified in sin. This is when they are most reachable. Listen to what the proverb says. Chapter 1 verse 7. "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." And then chapter 4 verse 7, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Give attention to no understanding." Now, in the verses I've just quoted, Solomon deals with sons. And he deals with sons because it is sons who are to be the leaders of the next generation. They are to be husbands and fathers and providers and protectors. And if they don't listen, beloved, if they don't listen to their fathers, if they don't listen to their mothers, they will not be good leaders. They will be led by their hearts and they will be fools and society will collapse. And that's what we see happening all around us, don't we? But this instruction is for all children. It's for all parents. Listen to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 7. Speaking once again, highlighting how important it is for parents to be speaking to their children and children to be listening to their parents. Therefore, hear me now, my children. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. And when we come back to the text we've just looked at, Proverbs 8, we see this instruction applied to all. This is what the scripture says. Proverbs 8, blessed is the one who keeps my way. Hear instruction. Be wise. Blessed is the man who listens to me, waiting daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. So let me ask you the question, friends. When we come to Proverbs and we listen to these words, what is wisdom saying to us? What should we hear? Well, wisdom is telling us that we can only know its blessings. We can only find its life and obtain favor from the Lord when we take the time to listen to it. When we are willing to hear it. When we are willing to submit to it. And again, I apply this wisdom to the gospel and to the person of Jesus Christ. Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, you who are burdened, learn from me, listen to me, for I am humble and lowly in heart, and I will do what? I will give you rest. This is the witness of Proverbs. But it's important for us to see what Proverbs says, because it starts with listening to our parents. It starts to listening to our parents. And especially if those parents love God and follow God. Children, if you want to be wise, if you don't want to be a fool in this world, you need to listen to your parents. And parents, I cannot express to you and impress upon you how important it is to cultivate in your children, by God's grace and through much prayer and through much of the application of the Word of God, the importance in your children's life of listening and obeying. Proverbs 22 verse 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and your heart to my knowledge. And your heart to my knowledge. Is there ever a point, friends, where we can stop listening? No. Never. Incline your ear, hear the words of the wise, and your heart to my knowledge. And what about the question of, do we ever get to the point where we no longer need to listen to our parents? No. For as long as they live, our parents exercise an important role in our lives. A role, especially Christian parents, of wisdom and knowledge. Listen to what Proverbs 23 verse 22 says. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. If we ever get to the point where we think to ourselves, we don't need to listen to our parents anymore, we have become fools. We need them. As long as God entrusts them to us, we need them. We need their counsel. We need their wisdom. We need their maturity. We need their insight. And so I want to say, friends, can there be any question from a biblical standpoint that there can be no blessing but only death and cursing if we don't listen, if we don't hear and listen to the voice of wisdom, that voice of God that God has given us in this world through the scriptures? You know, one of the things that James tells us is that we are to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And someone put it very well when he said, the Lord gave us two ears and one mouth, which by it he means he wants us to listen twice as much as we speak. So that's my first question. How much does it really matter how we hear and listen? It matters a great deal. It matters eternally. It's going to make a difference with regards to where we end up. If we end up in heaven or if we end up in hell. If we listen to wisdom and we live by it, or if we reject it and sin against our soul and so embrace death. But here's the second question. How do we find, or why do we find it so hard to hear and listen to wisdom? Luke records an occasion where our Lord Jesus on the Sabbath went to the synagogue and a scroll was handed to him. It was the scroll of Isaiah. And we are told in Luke's account, chapter 4, verse 16 to 21, that Jesus found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then we are told that he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendants and he sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now what has that got to do with why it is so hard to hear? Well, because from that text, our Lord Jesus is telling us some very important things. He's telling us that from a human point of view, humanly speaking, it is impossible to hear God. Or we may hear the words of God, but we don't actually hear God in our hearts. Why? Because, beloved, our first parents, Adam and Eve, stopped listening to God and began listening to other voices. First they began listening to Satan, and then they began listening to their own sinful hearts. And as a result of that, death ensued. And all of our problems, it's important for us to grasp this, all of our problems as human beings came about because our first parents, Adam and Eve, stopped listening to God. And because of that, beloved, they died spiritually. And because they died spiritually, they were spiritually dead to the voice of God. They didn't hear the voice of God anymore. And so when our Lord Jesus got up to read this text from Isaiah, he was describing the plight of man. He was telling us that as human beings, as the prophet Isaiah proclaimed, we are impoverished, we are downcast, we are in bondage, we have no ears to hear the freedom of God, we have no eyes to see the goodness of God. Now he's talking about spiritual ears. Because obviously we see things and we hear things. But to hear the words of God, the life-giving words of God, and to see by faith the life of God in Christ. We don't have that capacity. But this is where this text is such a comfort. What did Jesus come to do, beloved? He came to set the prisoner free from sin and death. He came to open our ears to hear the liberty God gives in the gospel, so that all who believe on Jesus will no longer be naked, but clothed in his righteousness. No longer be deaf, but hear the word of God. No longer be blind, but see the light of God. And so I want to say that we do not have ears to hear until something miraculous and spiritual happens. That's what we call conversion or regeneration. We do not have ears to hear until Jesus unstops our ears through His Spirit, so that we can hear the good news of the forgiveness of our sins, so that we can receive the truth of Christ that sets us free from the bondage of that sin that makes us deaf, dumb, and blind. Let me share with you what Paul says in Romans. Romans chapter 10 verse 11. Paul writes this: whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. And then Paul writes this: for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then, says Paul, shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And then Paul says this: so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Think about these words, Paul. Who are those who believe? Who are those who have faith? They who hear. They who hear the word of God. And in hearing the word of God, they hear the life-giving voice of God. How? Because as they hear, the Spirit of God works in their lives and opens their ears. And they hear the life-giving voice of God. One of the best illustrations of that is when Jesus stood at the mouth of the tomb of Lazarus. What do you think it would have been if somebody came and sat at the deathbed, or after Lazarus had been embalmed and put in that tomb, and sat next to him and said, Lazarus, now it's time to get up. Stop distressing your sister and your family members. Get up now. They would have thought he was a madman, because he was dead. He couldn't hear. But when Jesus spoke, when they rolled that stone away and Jesus spoke, he heard. Because the Spirit of God, the Spirit of resurrection, worked on him. And he heard and he came forth. Beloved, that's what happens when we come under the preaching of the Word of God. That is why it is so important to come under the preaching of God's Word. Because that power of the Spirit works through the preaching of the Word to open our ears so that we can hear and we can live. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 26. He says this: therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone, listen to this, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Beloved, I want to say this to you. It is very important how you hear and listen to what I'm saying today. It is very important. Those who listen to Jesus, who listen to the gospel, are likened to what? The wise. That's how Proverbs describes them. They are protected. That's what it means, that they are blessed. They are protected from disaster and death. But those who will not listen are like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. What do they embrace? They sin against their souls and they embrace death. Some of you may know this, but do you know that snakes actually can't hear? I've often thought to myself, if snakes can't hear, how do snake charmers manage to charm their snakes? Well, it's not the hearing of the, it's actually the motion that charms the snake, right? But a snake can't hear. I want you to listen to what Proverbs or Psalm 58 verse 3 and 4 says. And it describes the wicked, as cobras who can't hear. They won't hear. Listen, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf cobra that stops its ear. People who will not listen to God, people who will not listen to the gospel according to the scriptures are wicked. My friend, let me ask you, do you listen to the gospel? And more important, do you embrace the gospel? Do you believe the gospel? Because if you don't, you are wicked. You are wicked and sinning against your soul, and you're embracing death. The nature of our sinful rebellion as human beings is such that we are willfully rebellious. And unless God intervenes, we will not hear. The only remedy is the power of the Spirit of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. You know, you think about how wicked people are. Even when they are explained or they are told very plainly and very clearly of the wicked things they've done, they will not hear. They stop their ears. They reject the truth. And in the end, it results in murder. Here's one instance in the book of Acts of those who would not hear. A prophet, a man by the name of Stephen, got up and he explained to Israel and to the Jews how they had again and again, their record showed how they had turned away from God. How instead of worshipping the true God, they were worshipping the God of their own making. They were worshipping pagan gods. And that they were on their way to hell. Much like somebody standing at the doorway of a house telling someone who's seated on the chair, the house is burning down, is about to fall upon you. You would think such a person would be grateful. But because of the sinfulness and the wickedness and the rebellion of their hearts, what did they do? Well, listen. When they heard these things, Acts 7, 54 to 57, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. So it certainly hit them in their hearts. They heard it. They gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Now listen to how they responded. Then they cried out with a loud voice, "Stop their ears!" They did this. And they ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. See, that's the nature of our wickedness, friends. We stop our ears. Not only can we not hear, really hear, but we won't hear. Why is that? Why don't we hear God? Why won't we hear him, though? Because the truth of the matter is we've become our own gods. We hear only what our hearts love. We hear the world because our flesh loves it. And we hear Satan tempting us with what we love. And so we reject the voice of wisdom and we sin against our souls and we die, friends. And unless the Holy Spirit intervenes, we will continue on that path of destruction, listening to only what we want to hear and embracing only death. So, that is why it is so difficult to listen and hear God, because of the condition of our hearts. But God has provided the remedy through the gospel, through the preaching of the word. That is why, beloved, you and I need to pray when the gospel is preached. That is why, beloved, you and I need to pray for the ministry of the Spirit as the word of God is proclaimed. It was told of Spurgeon that one of the most important meetings in their church was the prayer meeting. Someone once asked him, what is the secret? What's the reason that God so powerfully uses this man as he preaches? That man was taken to the basement, and in the basement was a prayer meeting that was taking place while Spurgeon was preaching. The people of God were praying. That as the word of God went forth, people would hear and they would live. Well, let me come to my third question. What is the real danger when we don't listen and hear? If you have the text open, Proverbs 8 verse 35, we read this text. Whoever sins against me, whoever will not learn my instruction. In other words, they refuse to hear. They refuse to come and submit. Whoever will not learn my instruction and does not find me sins against wisdom. They sin against God. They sin against Christ. And they wrong their own soul and they embrace death. Beloved, let me say this to you. God is always speaking. He is always speaking. You're privileged to live in the United States of America. Every one of you have been in so many churches. Throughout your life, you've been in churches. By God's grace, many of you have come to hear and believe. But some of you have not. And you've sat under the preaching of the word, day in and day out, year in and year out, and you have heard the gospel. And you have no excuse. God is always speaking. But the issue is, you will not hear. You do not want to hear. Luke 8 verse 16 to 18 says, no one when he has lit a lamp covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. And then Jesus says this, therefore take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Do you hear the warning of our Lord Jesus, friends? Take heed how you hear. For when you hear God's message and you receive it, Jesus says, more will be given to you. But when you refuse to hear it and you reject it, even what you think you have will be taken away from you. Are you hearing the gospel? Are you hearing the gospel? And do you refuse to listen? And the warning of Jesus is, even what you think you have, because actually you don't have it, it's all of the gift of God. Even what you think you have, even what you're clinging to, even the excuses you're using of not coming to God, those things will be stripped away from you and you will be cast into everlasting damnation and there will be no mercy. But let me say a word to those who are Christians. It's so easy for us to listen, or to listen in a way that listening to the gospel no longer affects us. Or thinking that because we've listened to the gospel once and believed the gospel once, that we can go on our merry way and live as we please. Nothing could be further from the truth, beloved. We need to keep listening to the gospel. Remember, we are saved in Christ, but we are being saved and we will be saved. And remember what happens when we stop listening. We drift away. Listen to what Paul, if you believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, I believe he did. But this is what Hebrews says, chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Let me ask you the question. When you read that, when you hear that, how is it that you neglect so great a salvation? When you stop heeding. When you stop listening. You see, the Jews, many of them had learned the gospel, they had heard it, they had believed. But as a result of and pressure from their Jewish peers who were threatening them, pressure, the temptations, the difficulties of life, exactly what Jesus said, those seeds of life were beginning to be choked out, and they were turning away from the wisdom of God, and they were beginning to sin against their souls, and they were embracing death. We never stop listening, friends. We never stop taking heed. Again, I think of James, who wrote about the perfect law of liberty. James chapter 1, verse 19 to 25. Listen to what he says. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. James tells us that real wisdom begins with being swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And if we hear God's wisdom, turning away from wickedness, and we receive the word with meekness, that implanted word, what will it do? It will save our souls. But we have to continue to receive it, friends. We have to continue to come to it. We have to continue to look at the gospel. We have to continue to hear the gospel. Because as we continue to hear it, as we continue to apply our souls, that is when we go from grace, from strength to strength, and we are being transformed. But if we just look at it and turn away and live our lives, we will be destroyed. Listen to these words again from Proverbs 8, 32 to 35. And I want you to contrast and compare these words with James. Listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. And then James 1:25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. This is not a loiterer. This is not someone who's just hanging around in the fringes. Yeah, you know, it's good to hear the gospel. Every now and then I'll breeze in and I'll hear the gospel and I'll hear how wonderful God is and how wonderful His grace and how wonderful His love is. That is not someone who is growing in wisdom. That is not someone who is walking in life. No, someone who is growing in wisdom, who is growing in life, is hungry, he's thirsty, he's applying himself, he's coming to the Word of God, he's listening, he's waiting at the doors. He's daily at my gates. Is it no wonder that in Acts chapter 2, we are told that the early disciples, after the Spirit had been poured out, devoted themselves daily to the teaching of the apostles? And when those guys opened the Bible, when they opened the scrolls, when they began to speak with the power of the Spirit, those believers were there every time. We are so casual, friends. We are so presumptuous. We think, well, you know what? It's always going to be there. I can come whenever I like. One day that Bible may be taken away from you and you may be locked in a prison. And you may never hear another sermon in your life again. My question is, have you loved the Word of God? Have you loved the wisdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ so much that it's you've soaked in it, that it's in your soul? That you've come under it again and again, that it has touched and stained every part of your life in the best possible way. I love the words of J.C. Ryle. Men have only to go on hearing without believing, listening without repenting, going to church without going to Christ, and by, they will find themselves in hell. Stop being a loiterer. Stop standing on the sides and being a spectator, and apply yourself and involve yourself and invest yourself and give yourself. How we listen matters. It will be very much what determines where we stand on judgment day. Beloved, and if our listening does not lead us to trust and believe and rest in Christ, then we are not listening to the Spirit, but to our own hearts, and we will be led astray thinking that we can of our own strength and ability to please God. There's so much more I have to say, friends. But let me move on to my final point and I'll wrap it up quickly. How are you listening today? Chapter 8, verse 32 of Proverbs. Listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who watches daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Is that you? I can't answer that for you, beloved. I don't know what's going on in your heart. I know that I can put up a good front and people can think I'm doing well, and in reality I'm not. I know my own heart and you know your own heart. But I just want to say this. The person who does that is the person who is going to be blessed. Who is going to find life and live in it. Jesus said this. He who is of God hears God's words. He who is of God hears God's words. But then he said this, and he was speaking to the Pharisees and the doctors and the theologians of Israel, who were supposedly the learned of God. This is what he said of them. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God. And my friends, if you will not hear this message, if you will not hear of the Christ who suffered and died to save you from your sins, to give you a new heart so that you may love God and serve Him and obey His commands, and you are a lost man and a lost woman. And you are sinning against your soul and you are embracing death. Jesus said to His disciples, to those who hear Him, In John 10, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. These are the men and the women who love the word of God. These are the men and women who love Christ, who want to see Christ, who hunger and thirst for Christ. And they will do anything and everything to learn from him and to walk with him. William Still wrote these words: "It is the simplest things that are difficult to understand and accept. And one of those which seems in my experience to have been most difficult for people to understand and accept has been the fact that the Lord demands of his servants, each and every one of them, to listen to him only and obey his will implicitly, irrespective of what it costs." Is that true of you? Is that true of me? Because I'm just going to be real honest with you. I struggle. But very often I'm my own worst enemy. Because I don't give myself to these things as I ought to. And how many of us don't give ourselves to these things as we ought to? And we suffer and we struggle. And we are thankful by God's grace for his graciousness and his faithfulness to us. But friends, the day is far spent and the night is at hand. And we need to stop playing games. All of us. Listen to the scriptures again. Revelation chapter 3 verse 15. Jesus speaking to the church of Laodicea. "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see." You know, beloved, this is a description, and I speak generally of the American church, of the American Christian, bloated and fat. We have hundreds and thousands of sermons we can listen at any time. We have volumes, copious volumes on our bookshelves of theology and all the best theology. We have Edwards and Owen and Spurgeon, and we can just list of a whole ream of all the stuff that is at our disposal. And yet, why is it that we are spiritual pygmies? That we are spiritual babes? Because we follow Christ from a distance. Because we love the things of this world. Because we are unwilling to suffer for Christ. We are unwilling to pay the price that we ought to. And that's why Jesus says, "And you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, and I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire." That's suffering for Christ. It's standing up for Christ that is saying no to ungodliness, no to wickedness, no matter what the cost. Listen to what John writes as Christ speaks to him. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And then he says, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Stop feeding on the garbage heaps of this world. Stop it. And listen to the knocking of Christ on the door. And let him come in and sup with him. Verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. I want you to listen to that, friends. To him who overcame, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. The only way we overcome this, beloved, is by trusting in him and walking with him, because he overcame. God is not telling you to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and try and turn over a new leaf. He's telling you to throw yourself on Christ and walk with him and lay at his feet and learn from him and keep short accounts with him. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. My question is, beloved, will you hear? Will I hear? Oh, may God be gracious to us. Oh, may God give us ears to hear. Because, beloved, when it comes to eternity, it really matters how we hear and how we listen to what God has to say to us. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Amen. Father in heaven, Lord, help us, we pray. We are so needy. And we are reminded that in our weakness, your strength is perfected. And Lord, we would be the first now to acknowledge that we are weak and we are needy. And we need your Spirit. We need to listen. We need to hear. But not just to listen and hear, but to be doers of your word, to lay hold of you, to put on Christ, to put him on daily, to take every thought captive. Oh Lord, we pray for your Spirit to impress these truths upon our heart. We pray that your Spirit will lay hold of us, because you have promised us. You have bound us to yourself with cords of love, and you will not let us go. You will not let us go. And so we pray, Lord, that we would be conquered by love today. Because it is not that we loved you, but that you loved us and gave yourself up for us. And that it would be your love that would set us free to walk with you every day and every way. And that whatever is not of your love, we would throw it aside. And we would see it for what it is. It is worthless garbage, Lord. Oh God, please give us the grace, give us the strength, unite our hearts to fear your name. For your word tells us with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.